Hey, welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Lennox Studio right here in Cameron, Texas. The Cox's Heating and AC install a Lennox air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest and most energy efficient units you can buy. So give them a call, Cox's Heating and AC at 254-697-4252. We're simulcasting right now right here at KMIL 105.1 FM The Ranch, also at 98.5 KRXT out of Rockdale. You can check us out live here on Facebook at aaronsgunshop.com. If you got a comment, question, give us a call at 254-697-6633. And don't forget, all programming is put in a podcast form, and you can check it out at Spotify, Apple, Podbean, aaronsgunshop.com, all sorts of ways you can look at it. Sponsors, I want to thank each and every one of my sponsors for having faith in me in the program. All the private people who donate privately, I want to thank them very much as well. And you, too, can become a person who donates on a monthly basis, and it would be extremely appreciated. It takes a lot of money to support a program on two stations month after month. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, yada, 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 yada. I have a lot of people in the studio today, and we have more coming in, but to my left, my wingman, the Colonel, Rayford Brown. How you doing, Colonel?
Fantastic. It was a beautiful drive-in this morning, a perfect illustration of an inversion layer and the trapping of the smoke and contaminants below.
I went to a class on clouds. Aren't you talking about clouds? Or
I'm talking about the temperature increasing with altitude, and this forms a very stable layer. And this morning, the smoke was trapped at about 100 feet in the air. It was just layered.
Interesting.
I want to know why you went to a class on clouds.
Yeah. Weather. Figured out the weather here in Central Texas.
That's what he
That's
said.
That's what they're
it
calling
was.
It.
To the left of my wingman, his lovely wife, Kathleen. Give her a proper hello there.
Hello.
That was a proper hello.
She was
moving
the
mic.
She was actually playing to the camera.
Yeah, right, yeah. What a ham. What a ham. Okay. Now to my right, Christine Stevenson, enrolled agent with the IRS. She is not a tax agent. She is a liaison for you if you have tax problems. Christine, it's always a pleasure to have you in.
Good morning, Matt. Great to be here. I have some wonderful news.
What?
Second month in a row from the IRS. I know.
They're closing down.
Great news. No, just wonderful news.
All right,
news.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. To her right, I've got the judge. Judge Andy Isaacs.
Man, you know that the song we play right before we come on, time is running out.
Yeah. Time is running,
running out on 2023.
That's right. Well, speaking of which, this is our last show here.
Yeah, for the year.
In the far corner, staying out of camera and microphone shy, is one of my teammates, Butch Downey. We're going to be talking guns, tactics, and all that kind of stuff, along with Lee Richardson when he gets in here. And I think we have another special guest, but I'll wait till he gets here before I announce it. Okay, now, the one who keeps me on track, the metal rim around the wagon wheel, Shelby, say hi.
It's me. Good morning, everybody.
All right, we're going to have a great show here. Let's set up the table and talk about show highlights. We'll be doing the devotional. Once again, I'll do another chapter out of Tony Evans' book, Motivational Prayers for Men, and I want to thank the publisher, Harvest House Publishers, for giving me permission to read up to 15 chapters of the book. We're doing it one a week. And then we'll do some announcements as well. At the 11:30 mark, True Stories of Self-Defense, coming from the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. It's always a fun, I think it's one of people's favorite sections of the program. Word of the day in a moment, the quote of the day in a moment. Possibly, I'm not sure she's coming in today, Janisha from Cloud9 Coffee, that little blue trailer that boasts a big flavor, right? So she'll be coming in, so Shelby can test the latest coffee. Katie from Moz at the bottom of the hour, our Scratch and Smith section of the program. Colonel, doing our constitutional thing. Colonel, give me a little teaser.
We're going to talk about the Federal Reserve and money.
Mm. And money. Ooh, perfect.
What is money?
And Christine gave you a teaser about what's going on. Second month in a row, something great to talk about. And like I mentioned, a couple of members of my team, because we have a training seminar coming up. I thought I'd let guys come in and talk about what it is that they enjoy about it, what it's done for them, so on and so forth. Let's go to the word of the day. The word of the day comes from the headline of a story, the body of a story, the conversation of a story. And if you could put the word of the day into a sentence and give me a call here at 254-697-6633, you win a prize. And Shelby, tell them what they could win.
I don't know.
That's great. We got the big send-off. We're ready to go.
I got lunch cards from Mom.
We have
coffee
pretty
mugs.
Much from everywhere in town
a meal, a free meal, pretty much from anywhere, a pick from like Dairy Queen or Honcho in Texas. We got Circle S. So pretty much if you choose, if you're good enough to be a winner, then you're good enough to choose the place.
Now, if you play your cards right and you get both the word of the day and the quote of the day, I'll give you a $40 gift certificate to Mom's Place in Harper Heights. Now, the word of the day is insane. The word of the day is insane. It's an adjective, definition, in a state of mind which prevents normal perception, behavior, or social interaction. Seriously mentally ill. Comes from the headline. This is insane. That's a quote. Elon Musk reacts to record-busting border numbers. This is getting serious. It was serious when it first happened. It is... How do you get more serious about what I'm saying? Then it's a critical stage?
It's beyond critical now. It's we're falling off the edge, and there ain't no rope.
You ever seen a ship in the water sinking? It gets lower and lower, and all of a sudden there's like this momentary pause, and then it just goes under. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting close to that momentary pause. Just saying. All right. So the word of the day is insane. We'll get to that in a little bit. Colonel, what's your quote?
The quote, I have to come back to the front page here to find it. The issuing power shall be taken... I got out of line. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Oh, I know.
Banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Let me meditate on that one. All right, while we're meditating on that, let me continue on. 6 brilliant Tesla inventions that never got built. And we're talking about who?
Nikola Tesla.
There you go. And that was pretty interesting. I did this specifically for you, Colonel. I thought you'd be into that kind of stuff.
Well, he was alive back when that happened.
No, I just saw it and I said, maybe a good conversation with the Colonel.
Just saying.
I was the one holding the grounding wire.
former President Trump, back on the Colorado primary ballot. It's not going to hold up, everybody. All these people trying to push him off the ballot, it's just not going to hold up. GOP congressman schools Democrat states blocking Trump from ballots. The House is the ultimate arbiter of certifying electors. I think that came from Tim Massey. Who said that? Okay, this is going to freak people out. You ready for this? You ready? You ready? Mm-hmm. Sitting down? Donald Trump Jr. floats Alex Jones for Trump press secretary, and I think it's a phenomenal idea.
The world can't stand the truth, so it would be the end of the world.
What's her name, Jean Pierre? Now she's always flipping the page trying to find an answer. Alex knows it, and he just data dumps instantaneously. You may not like him, you may not like how he sounds, looks, what he's done in the past, but the guy has got memory bank.
Alex Jones becomes press secretary, they'll have to have a brigade of Marines in there because he will go nuclear.
The only problem is sometimes he doesn't know when to stop.
I totally agree. But even though he's that way, he gives out too much good information that I can't let that other part affect me. I have to put that other part to the side and take what I can. It's the same thing with Trump.
There are things. Okay. He lost... What is almost $1 billion on the Sandy Hook thing?
That was stupid.
Okay. Now, there is some truth in the fact that the pharma is involved in this because all of the people that do mass shootings are usually on psychotic drugs or...
And they have a tendency to have the same attorneys.
Yep, that too.
Moving on. Trump predicts neither Biden nor Kamala will be Democrat nominee in 2024.
Woo!
Going to be a free-for-all to replace... No, actually, that's not good.
Why?
Because you're going to get an emotional vote. Let's say they get Michelle Obama to come in. That's going to be an emotional vote. People are going to vote just to say, look, the first one. It has nothing to do with logic. A black woman, former
it would
first
be a
lady.
Black trans woman, if we want to get serious.
And here we go again.
moving on. CNN commentator Adam Kinzinger, quote, brainwashed Trump voters need to hear the truth from Christie. Listen, Christie's a POS. Figure it out. He's a POS and a big one at that. The only reason he's saying what he's saying is so you can get news attention, media attention. He was backing Trump left and right. And this thing about January 6th is a bunch of baloney.
We could call it baloney. That's the strongest word we could think of.
Here's a report. Joe Biden to take 418th vacation day in the Virgin Islands for New Year's.
You can't expect him to work all the time.
Do the math. Do the math.
There's not even, there's 365 days a year.
4 years to a term, okay? He hasn't finished 4 years, and he's already surpassed 1 year worth of vacation.
You know, he just got to have his rest.
I am so grateful that he has been on vacation.
Yes, actually, yes.
Look, I know we're close. I got 20 seconds. Let me do one or two more before we go to the break. New California law will change the way police officers interact with drivers, pedestrians. I'm 50-50 on this one. King Charles tied biblical Christmas story to climate change during annual Christmas broadcast. Can you people not leave it pure? I'm sorry, go ahead, Christina.
No, I'm just saying, this is who he is. Everybody knows this, no surprise. He's an environmental...
All right, we're going to take a break. Be back in 3 minutes. We may have Janisha in here. If not, we will continue on with the show highlights and then continue. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Give me a call, 254-697-6633. Before I continue on with show highlights, we got Janisha.
We got coffee.
Janisha Durr from Cloud9 Coffee. That little blue trailer that boasts the big flavor, right?
That's right.
Denisha, welcome to the program.
I'm good. How are y'all this morning?
Good. Wonderful.
Okay, so Shelby, I brought for you this morning
okay.
something that might seem a little bit familiar,
okay.
but it's a little bit different.
Okay, I'm going to taste it.
Drum beat.
It's good. It's tastes like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the sopapilla. Mm-hmm. It tastes like that.
Wow, okay, so that's what it is, except for instead of coffee, it is adaptogenic mushrooms. So we have mushroom coffee in the trailer.
Am I going to trip? What? Damn it, take it back!
So it's like, you know, reishi mushrooms, shiitake, things like that. The ones that are super good for your health.
Wow.
Yeah.
It and doesn't, so you couldn't tell you the difference. Tell.
And so that's something that we're trying to, I don't drink a whole lot of coffee. It gives me arthritis and it hurts my hands.
Wow.
So that's what I drink, or matcha.
Wow.
And it is an excellent replacement in a latte because
you
really can't
even
can't
tell
taste
the,
it.
No, I can't tell the
People
difference.
People are like, does it taste like mushrooms? No.
I thought it was just like the sopapilla one,
yeah.
but like you added a different kind of cream or something.
There's
but
a bunch of people going out in a cow patty.
don't do that. Don't do that.
She does
and
not endorse.
They're not growing this time of year anyway. But no, this is like a completely healthy mushroom, multiple different mushrooms. It's really good for your health. It's supposed to help like calm you. And it still has caffeine in it, which
wow.
is the amazing part. It has about half the caffeine as
right.
This espresso that we normally put inside
right.
of it.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's crazy. Because you can't, I mean, I would have never guessed it was made with anything like mushroom.
Exactly.
So that's wild.
Well,
yeah.
You should tell everybody what you got, where you're at, what they can do, how to get
okay. you. So you can find me Monday through Sunday. Every single day we're open at Cloud9 Coffee Trailer. We're in between Bradley Plumbing and the police station. We are there from Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 11. Saturday, it's going to be 8 to 11. Sunday, 8 to 10. And we have daily specials. Right now, our holiday menu is up. And we have a lot of really good, bright, delicious flavors for the holidays. And we will have those all the way through, until the winter's out,
right.
honestly. So I guess we should call it our winter menu.
Winter menu.
Come by and try our peppermint bark. It's very popular right now. And definitely try the mushroom coffee.
Definitely
Don't
try
let it scare you, okay? It's delicious. Get it in a latte and put any of your favorite flavors with it.
I will definitely be
yeah.
doing that.
What
definitely
kind of added health benefits does this have?
So it's really good for, it boosts your immune system. It's said to help. Give you just like a nice clean energy,
mm-hmm.
whereas coffee will kind of give you the jitters, and it will also just kind of calm your nerves. Over time, as you drink it, it's supposed to help with like if you have anxiety problems and things like that.
Janisha, it's too cold for me to go out. What if I want coffee?
I deliver. So we deliver within Cameron City limits. Y'all come on and just hop online. go to cloud9coffeetx.com, and it will have an option up top to put in your address. We deliver anywhere within Cameron City limits.
What about, like, where we live? Where, like, out far that...
Well, if you live out far, like, out that way, mm-hmm. I can bring it to you.
Okay.
Because I drive that way
every
day.
Because we're out
anyway.
That way. Yeah. Marlo, you got lucky.
Yeah, I live, what, like, 2 minutes down the road from you?
I think maybe 1 mile exactly.
Yeah, I walk by your house often.
Yeah.
So, or down that road. Yeah. I don't know if I see your house. But, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. There's something that I've got to have. Mm. South Thistle Root Coffee.
Thistle.
Okay,
so I know thistle.
Well, there are different kinds of thistle.
A lot of different thistles. A lot of different thistles.
Some people call it a weed, but it's grown in places. They feed it to lactating sows mm-hmm. to make them produce more milk. But there, you can also make a coffee-like augmentation beverage from this from the roasted root.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to have some of this stuff.
Okay, so you
said... I have never seen it.
Okay, so well, you said, okay, it. I'm going to read about it, too, because that sounds really interesting. Say it again.
Sow thistle.
S-A-S-O-W.
As in a pig. A female pig.
Sow thistle.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, interesting.
Everybody's on their phones. I got a radio.
We have some growing behind our house.
Thank you. All right, y'all have a good day and happy new year.
Bye, Janine.
Bye, y'all.
All right, look, I got about a 30-minute buffer on the show today, so no worries. We're just going to be a little bit different on the time slots because I got to get...
I'm mad now.
Then we'll get over it. All right, continuing on the show highlights. Heavily scented... This is crazy. Colonel, you and I talked about this about 3 years ago. Heavily censored Pfizer documents show COVID began 5-year mass depopulation agenda that will reach completion by 2025. Remember those companies that were saying we're going to get rid of all the people who got inoculated? Because in 3 years, I don't know if they'll be around.
Yes. It was the oil companies were hiring, looking around and hiring replacement executives yes. for any beyond 3 years, 100% turnover.
And there's a lot more articles that go with that, but I'm doing this off the top of my head, trying to reflect back on what we had talked about. But when I saw this article, it just popped. This was seen on a T-shirt. I just thought I'd put it out there. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Uh-oh.
All the other genders you make up are from Uranus.
Let me file one up, brother.
Uranus.
Lee is in the house. What's up, Lee?
Helicopters to descend on Las Vegas to monitor nuclear threat of New Year's Eve. Now, what they do there is they graph the city for radiation levels, and they can tell if there's a blip in the radiation level, and it kind of helps them figure out if something's going on like a dirty bomb. World on fire sends global orders soaring. Business is good for the military.
Oh, yeah.
Netherlands should prepare for war with Russia, says the army chief. Xi Jinping, is that how you say it?
Jinping?
President Xi. Says Taiwan will surely be reunified with China during symposium commemorating Mao. Bottom line is, they're not going to give it up. If we push the independence one bit too much, they're going to take it over. New York City man who allegedly stabbed teen girls yelled, "I want all the white people dead."
Uh-oh.
Had been freed weeks before by judge. His rap sheet's a mile long. So we've got a lot to talk about today, but right now we're going to skip right into Judge Andy Isaacs, and we're going to do a revival prayer. When we come back from the break, we'll probably have Katie from Oz, and we'll take it from there.
You know, one of the things we talk about all the time, the problems in our country and what's going on and all that. I'm going to give you some good news. God's got a plan for you, and what his plan is for you to become a servant, and the more you serve, the more you receive. When I was a young man, we won't go into how long ago that was.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. And I wanted to be, I thought I had the ability and the leadership ability to be a boss, a supervisor. And the truth was, I didn't, because I was not a servant. And if you're not a servant, you're not going to be a good leader. It's just the way it is. You're going to be a boss. You can be a boss and not be a servant. But if you're going to be a good servant, you got to be a good leader. And if you're going to be a good leader, you got to be a servant, because you don't know what the person below you's gone through, and you don't know how to adjust to the ups and downs of the job. If we would learn to be a good servant, I promise you, everything would work out in our country. But the more we serve, the more we get. The more God protects His people. You know, I saw a guy the other day, and a friend of mine actually, and devout Christian, but he's got some major issues. And the majorest issue is he's not humble, and he's not chasing after what the Lord wants him to do. And he keeps making mistake after mistake after mistake. And it's because he's not in God's will. He's not serving. He is bossing and directing and not serving. So if we can get to ourselves to where we're serving and we're doing, and that means serving is, I take that extra 5 minutes when somebody calls to listen to their problem. Yep. You don't have to fix it, okay?
Right.
You have to listen to it. I take the extra minute of time it takes when my child comes up to me and says, "Man, Dad, I hit a home run at school today." And we praise him for it. And we take the extra 2 or 3 minutes it takes for the person that is in trouble, that needs just somebody to listen to them, to be along beside them. Rita Kay's sister-in-law, when she was a little kid, came into the house where she was living with Rita Kay and her mom, and she said, "Sissy, we played farming today, and I didn't get the rat, the cheese, nor nothing." And Rita Kay goes, "Well, you know, if you didn't get the rat, the cheese, or nothing, you was pretty far down the list." It's just taking that extra 2 or 3 seconds to listen and to be part of their life. That's being a servant. It's not having a tray and going out and serving coffee. That's being a server. A servant is somebody that reaches out and really helps. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for many blessings, Lord. Lord, help us all to be servants. Help us to change this country by not being prideful and arrogant and "I want what I want," but being, "How can I help the next person get what they need from you? How can I be the difference maker to get what they have for you? How can I take a few minutes, few seconds, and pat somebody on the back and say, you're worth saving?" Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Help us to be more Christ-like and let others see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And you had a caller saying, we need good leaders. We need to pray for good leaders. I'll be praying about good leaders, too. We got to take a break. Be back after about 3 minutes. See you on the other side.
Okay, I'll tell you.
You're not going to like this, Lee.
Here, let me take a picture of that.
You're not going to like this. You may not care.
Thank you. I'm going to do What Are You Doing New Year's Eve first song.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Lennox studio right here in Cameron, Texas. Let Cox's Heating and AC install a Lennox air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest, most energy-efficient units you can buy. So give them a call. Cox's Heating and AC at 254-697-4252. I'm going to try and squeeze it in here before the Colonel comes on. And Colonel, I want you to give a proper introduction to Kathleen as to what she'll be singing before the end of the hour. I want to thank McGuire Tire, Casey and the gang, for sponsoring this segment. Casey's been taking care of me for 20 plus years when it comes to tires and a whole bunch more, and he can do the same thing for you. They got a couple locations. One's in Temple at 254-773-3114. Belton is 254-939-1357. For simple yet, just go to McGuireTire.com. I want to do the devotional and then read the short prayer from Tony Evans' book. So let me do the devotional first. I do it Monday through Friday, do it to a long list of people. I've been blessed to do it here on the radio as well. Today, if you're on my devotional list, it's going to be Friday's devotional. It reads, "Good morning. There are many who hate each other across the world for whatever their reason, but what about the hate of oneself? I saw this written down. It says, I am no one's favorite person. I am no one's first choice. I don't fit in. They don't need me. I'm worthless. I'm unimportant. It feels like they hate me. But don't worry. I hate myself too." Now, continuing, he says, "There's a lot of people out there like this too, many of which we would never know. As Christians, however, we are comforted by the knowledge of God's word." And this comes from Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Luke 12:7, Why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are more value than many sparrows. In Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. I close. It is very possible that the person to your left or right by chance contact is having a pretty bad day. Let's all be aware of this and take into consideration before making a final judgment on someone who may have come across as sour to us. We just might be that one person who makes a difference in the other person's life. So have a blessed day. Plant the seed, sprinkle a little bit of water on it, let the good Lord do the growing, share it with who you want, don't cram it down anybody's throat. I have been given permission by Harvest House Publishers to read 15 chapters of Tony Evans' book, Motivational Prayers for Men. And I'm asking everybody out there, men and women alike, to pray for yourselves and other men to be leaders. We had a phone call that was expressing just that. We need spiritual, good leaders who are spiritually based, okay? This chapter I'm about to read is called A Prayer for Wisdom in Leadership. It reads, well, first of all, show that book in the camera, please. And you close my page.
No, well, you'll find it.
Pray for wisdom and everything else. Will
you didn't
right.
Say, hey, keep my page.
Well, I
you just said, show
and
this.
I said, hey, you know. So, there we go. Got it. Stop laughing at me, guys. A prayer for wisdom and leadership. Here we go. Lord, I want to lead well. But to do that means that I need to be led by you first and foremost. I cannot lead based on my own understanding, or I will lead those in my care astray. Father, I want to lead according to your will and your word. I need wisdom to do that. I need you to inform me about the way to apply your will and your word in my various decisions in life. I don't want to lead poorly by making bad decisions that not only jeopardize me, but also those who are following me, starting with my family and then others. Lord, let me not merely be a leader by title. I want to be a leader by my decisions, protection, guidance, and covering. Help me to determine not only what is okay or good, but what is best. To do so, I need your help when I make decisions. May your Holy Spirit inform my thinking and my emotions so that I may make the best choices possible. Then give me the will to follow through so that I am not just talking about what we ought to do as a family or at work, but that I am doing it myself and modeling it for others. Lead me so that I can lead others well. Because if you don't lead me, I will lead poorly based on my imperfect humanity. I'll be leaning on myself, and that will not produce the results you desire for my life and in the lives of those I lead. Thank you, God, for answering the leadership prayer. In Christ, amen. And Tony makes a comment. Position, power, and possessions don't last. What lasts is what is done in obedience to the King of Kings and the ruler over all. So there you go.
Amen.
Very good. Colonel, I think I got you on track, buddy. Take it away.
Well, on track, back to the original quote, and this quote, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies, and money has been a problem as long as there have been men. And what is money? Where did this all come from? What is the Federal Reserve Act? And how do we handle money under the Constitution? These are some of the things we're going to try to go through this morning. And I apologize in advance because my preparation has been less than perfect. And I couldn't get this to fall into the proper order. So it may be just a little jumbled, but we're going to try to get a lot of information out to you. Now, let's go back and start at the beginning. And what is money? And when did we start needing it? Well, if we go back to the caveman who had a solitary existence, he just went out and clubbed a wife and killed a few animals and drug them back to the cave, and then his wife would go out maybe and forage for a few berries and veggies and stuff, nuts.
Go ahead.
And
Hold on.
Did you say he just clubbed his wife?
Yes.
How did that work out for you?
Actually, he didn't club his wife. He clubbed the woman that he was going to claim for a wife.
Okay. That would
be better stated. He took good care of her after that because then he let her go out and pick berries up there. All right. Cluster. Oh, I'm in trouble now. I've got to introduce Michael. All right, caveman. All right, so he was solitary, but that wasn't much fun. So they started having clusters of people living, and they ran out of cave space. And they started making buildings and villages, and there came along with this a specialization. People found out they were better in one thing than something else. So perhaps they could make better shoes, one make better coats, and one could raise animals. So they had these specialized knowledge. Well, then it became a problem of how do you trade what you're really good at for something that somebody else is really good at. So this started exchanging one's work for someone else's. And the value of these trades was determined by what is in the free market known as the magic giant hand. Whenever a market opens up, very soon, the ratios of certain products, what their value is, a loaf of bread versus a gallon of milk, is automatically set by what the people are willing to trade. And this is, they call that the giant hand. Now, what is money? Well, if you've got a cow and one guy's got a fish, and you a small fish at that, and you want how do you divide up your cow to buy? Do you want to buy a whole lot of fish, which they don't tend to keep very long? So if you get more fish than you can eat in a day, they say they go bad from the head down, but it's going to be big trouble. So we needed a way to divide things up. So we came up with money, and money has been all kinds of things, from seashells to gold coins, silver coins, nuggets, rocks, you name it. But we've pretty much settled in recent times on gold and silver until we got to the fiat currencies. So money is just a convenient unit of trade. It's something that you can carry and give. Now, the size of this money, we didn't like carrying around a big purse full of gold, which is fairly heavy. And so we came up with banks. And this was a place that you could store your valuable gold and stuff, and they would give you a piece of paper for it. And you could carry this piece of paper and give it to somebody else and entitle them to some of your gold. But banks found out that people didn't come back for their gold very often, so they could lend out this gold to other people and take interest off of it until the original person came back asking for their gold. Well, they also found that they can lend out more of money, this paper, than they had gold to back it up. And this has what's led to a lot of our other problems
now. Is that why running the bank is so fearful?
That is exactly what happened. And this is what happened through early America. We had runs on the banks. Rumors would start that the bank didn't have enough money to cover its deposits, and people would go hoarding to the bank, stand in line, take all their money out, and of course the bank would collapse thereafter. The last man in line was left holding the bag. So somebody, J.P. Morgan, a big financier, he started bailing out some of these banks and things back in the 1880s, 1890s, trying to stabilize this. And then this was a forerunner of the Federal Reserve System.
All right, Colonel, we're forced to a hard break here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. The Colonel will continue on. This is very interesting information. You kind of know it, but then when you start getting details, it fills in all the gaps. Be back in three. And welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program. Matt, your host, having a great time here behind the microphone. Look, if you want to check out what's going on, go to Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page. We're live now on Facebook, and you can see all that's happening here. So I've got the Colonel continuing on with what he's got, and we've also got Kathleen going to be singing us a fantastic song a few minutes before the top of the hour. Colonel, take it away.
Okay, I've got 30 minutes of material and 7 minutes to unload it here, so we will proceed quickly. I will quit talking and start proceeding. Now, we talked about the fact that we got to the Federal Reserve banks. We got the banks could lend out more money than they had reserves. And then people would start a rumor, and then they would run on the bank and withdraw their money, and sure enough, the bank didn't have enough money to cover it, and J.P. Morgan or other big financiers would back the banks up and loan them a little extra money to pay off the depositors, and they would try to stay open. Well, this went along, but it kept being a series of inflation, deflation, and this had been warned about by Jefferson and others early on about how if we had a central bank and let them print our currency, that through a series of inflations and deflations, that they would take all the money away from the people, and the people, the kids, would wind up being paupers and sharecroppers in their own country. And we see this happening, more and more renters now, and fewer landowners. Let's go back now to, as we progress through history, we came up, the early Americas, we started trading pieces of silver, the Spanish dollar, which there was a lot of silver mined in America taken back. Spain was one of the richest countries when it's, we started trading out of the Indies. And they took a certain amount of silver and called it a dollar. And we copied that amount. And later on, we have the Congressional Money Act, and it specified how many grains of silver, etc., were in a dollar. Now, where did this authority come from? Before the Constitution, each of the states had their own money. The banks, a lot of the banks, private banks, would have notes and stuff. There was no, you go from one state to another, commerce was somewhat restricted because you had to figure out a way to trade your money, kind of like Europe before the European Union. Now, Article 1, Section 8 in the U.S. Constitution gave the federal government the authority, the states delegated to the federal government the authority to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Now, it's a three-sided triangle when you've got money and weights and things and time. All right, now, fix the value thereof. So then we come into the Federal Reserve. The other thing that the federal government was authorized was to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. And they were very big about this counterfeiting and substituting something besides pure silver into the silver dollar, you know, at a certain amount. And if the head of the mint was caught counterfeiting or diluting the money, then he could be hung. So we used to think it was pretty serious to counterfeit the money until we got the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor a reserve, but it is a private corporation, or not a corporation, banking system. There are 12 different regional banks that make up the Federal Reserve, and then there's a Federal Reserve Committee, which is made up of the heads of some of the regional, of these regional banks. Now, the authority delegated to this banking system is to issue our money. So we borrow our money from the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve doesn't have to do anything to do this. The Federal Reserve stock is owned by the regional banks, and the ownership of this stock is not traded publicly, so it's restricted. So we don't know who owns the regional banks, and that's, to me, a problem. All right, the penalty for counterfeiting. 1913, we had the socialist Woodrow Wilson and Edward Mandel House, his right-hand man who was a communist, created the Federal Reserve Act to stabilize his currency. And they started printing Federal Reserve certificates. These certificates you could take to the bank and draw out gold or silver. Well, but they had the ability to make a lot of these things. So kind of a run on these certificates happened when in 1971, Great Britain said, we don't want your money, we want your gold, all right? Just pay us in gold. Well, we didn't have really enough gold to do that, and so we said nope. And Nixon said, that's the end of the gold standard. We're not going to pay anymore. You can't take your certificates down there. And then they came up with the Federal Reserve notes. And the Federal Reserve notes had, you couldn't trade them in for anything. They were what is called fiat currency. They were only worth the paper they were printed on, other than the good faith and credit of the United States, which we have proceeded to try to destroy. All right, we're down now to a few moments, and that is the story of the Federal Reserve. Now we have a fiat currency. It's being inflated to, in 1970, when we, 71, when we came off the gold standard, the dollar was $35. Now, and for an ounce of gold, and now it's $2,068 for the same ounce of gold. So we've lost almost 98.5% of our money. Now, it's, since you've lost all our money, I need to introduce the person that keeps track of mine.
Nice segue.
For the last 57 years or 56 years, she's been a big part of my life. And for the last 55, she's been my wife.
Well, with the last 15 seconds before the time, I don't know what you saw in him. I saw your picture. Colonel, you...
Married up big time.
Man, now Colonel looked pretty good. He was a handsome man.
I was a handsome cadet. Yeah, this is Kathleen Brown.
Take it away, Kathleen.
All right. Since it's New Year's coming up, the song I'm going to sing is What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? It was written by a composer named Frank Lesser, and in 1947. That's the year after I was born. And right now, there have been 317 recordings of this song.
Wow.
That's a heck of a lot. Yeah. Heck of a lot of people who recorded them. There's an intro to it. It says, when the bells all ring and the horns all blow, and the couples we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you or will I be among the missing? Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year? New Year's Eve? Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the New Year. New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose. Out of the 1,000 invitations you received, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. But in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve.
And that was back written when they put words to songs besides, well, you know what.
And I got done a little early, huh?
Well, I think you have a minute. It seems like great. Time slows down when she sings.
You can hear a pin drop, too.
It's like 1 minute takes two. It's crazy.
You know, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you just got to chill out and enjoy some beautiful music. This program here is to put out good information, the best of my ability, to inform you, to make better decisions if at all possible. But a day like today, with Kathleen singing, it's very nice. And I told you this last week, Kathleen, sometimes you listen to people and you go, oh, they didn't hit it. But I was smiling all the way.
Well, back in the day when I was a cadet, when I first met her, I got an allowance of $10 a month. $10 US dollars a month. And I didn't, couldn't afford batteries from a radio, so when I met her, I said, wow, this is a deal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking a top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll have Christine Stevenson, a world agent with the IRS. She's going to give us some great information. I've got the guys in the room here. I've got Butch and Lee on my shooting team, the judge. We're just going to have a good time. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, everybody. I need quiet in the studio, please. You're not going to like this, Lee. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Lennox Studio right here in Cameron, Texas. So give Cox's Heating and AC a call, because they can provide you and install a Lennox air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest, most energy-efficient units you can buy. 254-697-4252. All right. Also, I have to go through this, too. We're simulcasting here at 105.1 FM The Ranch, also at 98.5 FM at Rockdale KRXT. Facebook Live at aaronsgunshop.com. Phone number if you want to call in, 254-697-6633. And all programming put on podcasts at aaronsgunshop.com, Spotify, Apple, Podbean. Check it out. Thank you to all the sponsors and all those who donate. Christine Stevenson, enrolled agent with the IRS. You are an expert from the day I met you. You're continuing to be so and help so many people. Tell us what you got.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here. This is the Dollars and Cents with Christine portion of the radio show this morning. I am, as Matt says, an IRS enrolled agent. I do not work for the IRS. I work on behalf of you in front of the IRS. Should you have letters that you get that you don't know what to do with, if you have a tax bill, if you have anything going on with your taxes with the IRS, give me a call, 737-234-0196. That's my book, Shelby's Holding Up. It is on sale right now on Amazon, $7.99.
Ooh, what a deal.
What a deal. Not quite half price, but it is a good book. It's packed with information. It is specifically geared towards those that are self-employed, the gig worker, the indie contractor. And since the pandemic, there is a lot more people that this book now covers, because so many people have decided to, A, work from home, but hang out their own shingle and do their own thing and monetize their knowledge in the area of expertise that they live in. So I'm your person to call if you, again, if you have troubles with the IRS, 737-234-0196. So today, as I said, as a little teaser, I have some great news.
Woo-hoo! IRS.
Coming out of the IRS.
What's going on?
Can you believe it? Second month in a row. So, the IRS announced the other day they are going to start sending out letters in the beginning of January, which is right around the corner, letting people know that if they had a failure to pay penalty letter that they received because they didn't pay their tax on time, there, because of the pandemic stuff that was going on, the IRS is going to waive that penalty. And that's going to cover about 5 million people.
So it's like make a mad dash, get it done, and avoid the penalty. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay even more so, right?
Well, no, not quite. So, two things. The IRS stopped sending out penalty notices in February of 2022. They just stopped sending out these notices because, and they were for the tax years 2020 and 2021, because it was craziness with COVID and getting tax returns in and all sorts of stuff. So they stopped sending out the notices. However, the balance was still there, it was still due, and penalties and interest were always increasing on this balance. And normally they send out reminder letters. Well, they quit doing that. And you also get penalties when you don't pay, or when you don't file on time. And so they're going to remove that penalty, the failure to pay, not your taxes, but they're not removing the taxes, but they're removing the penalty because you didn't pay. Does that make sense? You didn't pay the tax, which is due, okay? Mm-hmm. And normally there's a penalty for not paying that.
I think I'm a little confused. These are the dates, 20 and 21 years, or is it 20?
Those are tax returns for 20 and 21. They stopped mailing notices for those years in 2022, so they just quit sending them out, even though the tax was still due, and the penalties and interest were accruing. So now they're removing those penalties because you didn't pay the tax on time.
All right, let me help out. So if I didn't make, in those time frame, I didn't make my quarterly payments on time, but I paid all the taxes. Will I get my penalties back now as a refund, or are they going to keep everything they already collected?
Well, the penalties are only for, this estimated tax payments are different. That's not what this is about. This is about tax that's due, and you didn't make the payment on time, you get a penalty.
Oh. What you're saying is Adolf Hitler is not dead. He's running the IRS.
I don't,
I'm going to give her mine.
Okay. So, yeah, now I get the silver mic.
Platinum.
So, platinum. Sorry, platinum. Higher grade, platinum mic. So, again, the tax is due for 2020 and 2021. Tax is always due. If you didn't make the payment, you got a penalty. The IRS is waiving that penalty. Okay, so yay, that's a good thing. So they're sending out letters to, you know, 5 million some odd households to say, hey, this penalty will be either refunded or credited to your account if you owe more tax. So for some people, this could be potentially thousands of dollars, could be hundreds of dollars, or maybe even, you know, tens of dollars. But it's coming back to this person.
Is it a person like you who would tell people that? Because scratch that. Is it people like you with the knowledge that you have saving people a ton of money because they may not know it or somehow have found out or missed it?
Well, the IRS is going to be, in this particular case, the IRS is sending out letters. You know, people move all the time. They don't have to update their address. The relief will be automatic. It's going to happen. But it will come on a letter that shows you how much penalty relief you're getting, how much is being credited back to you. So if you don't know, and most people don't know,
how's it credited back?
It's credited to your account. So if you have a tax bill that comes in, it's going to offset that tax bill for the following year. But if you have a balance that's zero, then you're going to get a probably a refund check.
Christina, question: the letters come in the mail.
Right.
Is there any?
Lots of people don't open their mail from the IRS.
Right. Or they may not have gotten it. Yeah. What does the IRS say about that? Sorry, I don't care. It shows that we mailed it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the mail is not dependable anymore, so...
Right. So the relief, in this particular instance, the relief is automatic. You're going to be refunded or credited the amount to your account when this happens. And they'll start doing this they'll start mailing the letter in January of 2024... And you'll see this sometime in 2024 on your account. So it's going to happen. So it's a good thing. It's good news. It's for most people. You have to be assessed less than $100,000 in tax. And it's for people that make less than $400,000 a year. Those are the majority of people that this applies to. So less than $400,000 in income, less than $100,000 of assessed tax. And you can also, some people this doesn't apply to, you can also always request reasonable cause as to why you didn't pay your tax, and that's where I come in with reasonable cause. Or first-time abatement. I've talked to you. I've mentioned people that I've helped. I'll call up the IRS and say, hey, they qualify for first-time abatement. Mm-hmm. Zip, boom, bang. I get $3,000.
Well, you got success story after success story. Yeah. You know what it is, though? Sometimes when people, like me, for example, I'm a perfect example. You tell me something like that, and I got to hear it a few times. I got to break it down. So that's why I'm asking questions all the time.
Yeah, no, that's good, because I don't always explain things as clearly as
I do. No, you explained it properly. I heard it bad. It's me. It's my fault.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah.
I'm 25 cents, remember?
Right. Gotcha. So, again, automatic relief. It's going to happen if you had a penalty on your 2020 or 2021 tax return for not paying the tax on time. The tax is still due. The balance is still there. But they're waiving the penalty if you didn't get it paid. So that's great news coming out of the IRS.
So you don't get any money because you didn't pay it, but but you're getting credited for it.
But you're getting credited for it. Okay. Right.
So
getting credited.
You don't have to pay it.
If you got the penalty, you're getting the penalty removed. That's the tax is still there, but that's the big thing. The penalty is going away. So I wanted to mention that. The other thing I want to mention, not so much about the IRS, but about FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. Starting in a few days, actually, January 1st of 2024, I did mention this before. If you are the owner of an LLC, an S-Corp, a partnership, if you have a C-Corp, you are going to have a new reporting requirement to FinCEN, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. Most people are going to go to their state secretary's website to give FinCEN some information about yourself, about your company. So if you have a financial person, a CPA, you're working with an enrolled agent such as myself, or a tax professional that you work with, you need to have a conversation with them about this new reporting requirement. It's brand new, and it's going to affect, well, anyone that has an LLC, an S-Corp, a partnership, C-Corp, a PLLC, yes.
501c3?
Not a nonprofit necessarily, no. But it depends on how the nonprofit is formed, because some nonprofits are, they're not just a single person. They're an LLC. It depends on that structure. Yes. Oh, I've got a minute left. So again, talk to your financial advisor. This is the Beneficial Ownership Information Report. That's what it's called. We're all going to be filing those. Many of us are going to be filing those starting next year. And I want to give a quick shout out in the last few remaining minutes. I had a great experience yesterday. I needed to redo some of my financial banking information. I want to give a shout out to First United Bank in Temple, specifically Rebecca. She was awesome. If you have banking needs, go see Rebecca.
We have sponsorships available.
That's right. But call me, 737-234-0196. And in the after the break, I'll talk about some client stories.
Now look, if you got a question, 254-697-6633. It doesn't cost you a dime. It just costs you about 5 seconds to push the buttons. Boom, you're here. Christine will answer some questions for you. We'll be back in 3 minutes. See you on the other side.
You're cutting too short.
3 seconds.
That's why I put the whole hands up.
1 second. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. The number here, 254-697-6633. Christine Stevenson, enrolled agent with the IRS, doing a fantastic job. Christine, I'm going to shut up and let you go on.
Thank you, Matt. Good to hear that you're going to be quiet. And
he says that every time. Doesn't always happen.
If you didn't put out such good information, or the colonel, or anybody else, I wouldn't interrupt.
There we go. Okay, so 737-234-0196. That is the magic number to call or text if you have issues with the IRS, or even a question about something that's going on with your tax return with the IRS. Sometimes I can help people. They'll call me up and say, hey, I heard about, you know, this penalty abatement thing, can you help me out? And the answer is maybe. Those are some of the things that I can do. I can do a deep dive into your account history, look to see if you qualify. Things with the IRS, it's always facts and circumstances dependent, what you qualify for or what you don't, whether that's penalty abatement, whether that is an offer and compromise, which is a reduction of how much tax you owe, you pay less. And most people don't qualify for that. That's one thing I always tell people when they're asking about an OIC. Or you can get a currently not collectible status, which means the tax debt is due, but you don't have to pay because you don't have the money. That's the upshot of that. And you can get CNC status for about a year, which gives you some breathing room to get organized with your money and your life and to make changes and figure out how to pay. Yes, question from the listening audience.
Yes, Christina, I have a question. You're coming up with all these changes and stuff. Is it a board that does, and how is the actual, does somebody go and say, you know, let's cut them a break, and so let's do this. Jane or John, whoever's my secretary, please make sure this gets done. How does that happen?
With the IRS?
Yes.
No, it's all in the Internal Revenue Code. It's already all written, and so we apply the code to the situation, and we use the code to your advantage. And so the IRS, they're following what's written in the code into their Internal Revenue Manuals.
And that code comes from where?
The Internal Revenue Code, the United States Code, USC 26.
A quick one. Do you have to declare bankruptcy in order to prove that you can't pay?
No, bankruptcy is a separate issue. And bankruptcy can occasionally, if everything, the sun and the moon and the stars align just perfectly, you can get some tax debt bankrupted, but it's very tricky. To pay no money to the IRS, that is something you that's the currently not collectible status. That you have to show the IRS on their forms, in their language, that no, you don't actually have any money, not even a dollar, to pay the IRS.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's better to not pay than to not file.
Correct. You don't go to jail for not paying your tax. You go to jail, potentially, for not filing your tax return. But that's way, way, way down the road. Okay. I'm not going to let anybody go to jail that comes to me, so. Anyway, I want to switch over to some of my client stories. I haven't talked about those for quite some time. I'm also a financial coach, and I help people with their individual money stuff and their business money stuff. And I had a young lady hire me recently. We've been working for a couple of months now. I hope you're out there listening. You know I said I was going to talk about you. She's just a total rock star. She's in some debt, and she's working hard to get her debt paid off. And she's got some really great goals. She has a really good job. And yet she's struggling with some money issues. And she is trying to come up with new ways, besides her job, her 9-to-5 job, with some new ways to pay off her debt. Other things she can do. She's looking at getting a part-time job in addition to her full-time job, which is fantastic. But that takes a little while sometimes to go get a part-time job. So we were brainstorming a couple of coaching sessions ago, and I said, hey, what about selling your blood or selling your plasma? You can go into plasma centers. They're all over the country. And sell your plasma. And depending on where you go and what the circumstances are, you can make up to about $800, sometimes $1,000 in a single month. $1,000 extra bucks to pay towards your debt. So she embraced this idea, and on December 23rd, I'd have to double check my phone, but can you imagine December 23rd? What were most people doing the eve of December 23rd? Shopping, spending money on Christmas presents, many of them using their credit cards, going into debt, buying stuff for people that, A, those people don't want or need, and, you know, going into further debt themselves. So she sends me a text message. She's lying in the chair with a little blankie over her, selling her plasma, making money. She made $150 or $125, and she put it towards her credit card debt. I thought that was pretty awesome. How many people do you know in this room would be willing to go out on December 23rd and sell their plasma to make some money to pay towards their debt? Andy, would you be doing that?
You bet. I don't have nobody else at the house.
So I thought that was pretty impressive in my book, that she was willing to make that kind of behavior change, whereas 2 months ago, A, that would never occur to her to do something like that.
Well, let's be realistic. If you're motivated, something is motivating you, you're going to find a way.
Yes, and she is motivated, so she's out there. And plasma centers are generally not located in the super nice parts of town, let's just say. Mm-hmm. They tend to be in some sketchier areas or sketchier type people.
Well, you know why, right?
Yes, I know why, because mm-hmm. we need some money to go buy our, you know, drugs or alcohol.
No, I need bodies for plasma, and the ones who are most readily accessible, who are willing to do it, are those who need to buy the bottle.
That's right. Wait, can you take drug addicts' plasma and blood?
Not drugs, I misspoke. Alcohol, for sure. They'll take their plasma. Drugs, I'm not so sure about. I don't know.
In Temple, there's a huge one right next to Big Lots and
Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes. And I have sent some of the local people here that I've spoken with in Temple. I said, go sell your plasma. So, anyway.
Give blood, buy a drill. Give blood, buy a piece of furniture.
What a deal.
So,
I love America.
God bless America. That's right. The land of opportunity. Anyway, so these are some of the things that people are willing to embrace to do to change their money habits. And I just wanted to highlight her because she got after it. She didn't hem and haw. It wasn't struggle. Do I do this or not? Boom. She got to it.
Does her plasma giving throw her into your book?
No, she's not self-employed. Let me clarify that
question. There's the book that Christine has here for somebody who's independent. So doing what she's doing will not constitute that she has to tell her.
No, and this is not, it's not money that's reportable, if that's what you're asking.
Yes,
your blood plasma money that you earn is not reportable income.
Wow.
So
I'm surprised.
So am I. They want you to gold.
Your blood? Give me some of your money.
Yes, so there you go. And she's using it to pay for her debt. So I hope you're listening. You know I said I was going to talk about you. So proud of your work. Now, in the last few minutes here, I'm doing this with a number of my coaching clients as we wind down through the end of November and into December. I have year-end reflection exercises, year-end reflection questions, and looking forward into 2024. So we're going to spend a couple minutes here on some thoughtful questions. So number one, what was the hardest thing you had to overcome in 2023, and what did you learn from that?
Not getting angry at lousy drivers.
I didn't fulfill that.
That's okay. It was different. If we were all the same, one of us would be useless. So what energized you the most, personally or professionally, and who drained you the most, personally or professionally?
I plead the fifth.
And why are you still tolerating that?
Well, you got a dog, you can blame it on her.
Why are you still tolerating that? That's the big thing. Here's another good one. What's something I spent money on that provided the most value?
Oh, I know that answer.
What provided the most value? And how did you waste the most money in 2023?
That's easy. I will not discuss.
She's done quit preaching and went to meddling.
What are you most grateful for in your life? That's a good thing to always be looking at. All right, here's another good one. What is missing in your life right now? What's missing in your life? And what are you going to start doing this coming new year? And what are you going to stop doing this coming new year? We can both start and stop in the new year in 2024. Here's one about money accomplishments. What is the biggest money accomplishment you want to make in 2024?
In other words, pay off a debt or something?
Pay off a debt, do whatever, yeah. What's the biggest accomplishment you want? You know, go on vacation, whatever it may be. Where
for us guys, it'd be buying guns at discounted prices that are resellable for a profit.
Perfect. See? There you go. Where do you want to grow and strengthen in yourself? Is it as an intellectual accomplishment, as a physical accomplishment, as a faith accomplishment? What do you want to, where do you want to grow in that area? All right. What relationship do you want to strengthen this year? Or grow in? Is that maybe with your spouse, a neighbor, or a friend? Okay. Here's a good one. What are 1 to 3 activities or habits that created 80% of your success this past year? And what are 1 to 3 activities that created 80% of your problems or unhappiness this year?
Dang, Christine, you're asking all these really thought-provoking questions.
I know. Too bad the time is wrapping down.
That's not good for a three-hour radio show, because then you're silent. You're just like,
I know.
And the people out there go, hello?
That's why I listen to the replay. Anyway, if you want to talk about these things, 737-234-0196. My book is on sale on Amazon, $7.99. It's also an audio book. Shelby will put that up there for you. Would love to talk to you about money issues and what you'd like to do different with your money this year. Or again, if you have an IRS problem. So I'm here, I'm available, I have power of attorney when you give that to me, and I can go to bat for you, get in front of the IRS, get in their face, and help you solve your IRS problems.
Christine, you know what you're doing. I knew it from the moment I met you. You're an expert in your field. So everybody out there listening, if you got it, take advantage of her. Go to aaronsgunshop.com if you can't remember anything else. Go to the radio show page. All the sponsors are there. Christine is there. She's got
a scan code.
You can do whatever you want. Okay, get right to it. We're going to take a break. Be back. When I come back, we're going to have the guys from the team. I got Butch and Lee, myself. Will I get more time?
No, you need to stop talking.
To the chaplains, snickerdoodles, and told them.
All right, 5, 4, 3.
Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Lennox Studio right here in Cameron, Texas. Let Cox's Heating and AC install a Lennox air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest and most energy-efficient units you can buy. So give them a call at Cox's Heating and AC at 254-697-4252. I'd like to make an announcement. One of our sponsors, good old George there at Liquor Depot.
Woo!
He wants to mention to everybody Happy New Year. And also that they're going to be closed New Year's Eve because it's Sunday. So just a reminder to the customers to get their stuff today, okay?
That's right.
So if you got to get your booze, your beers.
And cigars.
And cigars.
Great cigar selection.
Mixers.
Thank you, George.
All kinds of gift sets.
You got everything you need there at Liquor Depot in the Milan Plaza in between
Brookshire
Brothers and...
No, wait. It's Brookshire, CVS, then...
Well, wait a minute. I got Cameron Fitness. That's one of our sponsors.
That's on the far left.
Yes, but it's between
Cameron Fitness and CVS.
There you go. So check it out, okay? Now, I've got two active and one retired shooting team members here in the studio with me. I wanted to bring them on because, you know, not only do I have a seminar coming up, but the way the world looks, it's going to hell in a handbasket. So grab a Mike Lee, Butch, you're with me. I got Lee Richardson, Butch Downing.
Hello.
Two of the guys on my team shooting. Guys, how you doing today?
Good.
And remember, it's a 3-hour program. One word answers, don't cut it. Okay? So... Hi. Yes, I am here. Yes, I am feeling good. Thank you for being on. See, that's the way you go. Okay. Guys, I wanted you on because I wanted to get your impression. I wanted to get your opinion as to what we do, why we do it, and how you've gotten better at what you do. Who wants to go first? You've been elected.
So, as far as why I do it, I mean...
Well, I guess I should explain what we do. We train. Nice. We train very well, often, and completely on the use of firearms, methods, situations, malfunctions, anything involved from the thought process of, oh my goodness, something's going on, and it may require me to cross that line of self-defense using deadly force. We go over every aspect that we can think of to ensure that we are at least in tune with the possibility, and then we're a little bit quicker to response. We don't want to react, we want to respond. So with that said, Lee, go ahead.
So my main takeaway from it and why I do it is just being prepared. We practice for all different kind of scenarios. I mean, you name it, we've probably practiced for it. I mean, practice, they say practice makes perfect. We're never going to be perfect, but, you know, the more you practice, the more comfortable you're going to be with
practice
it.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And one of the things, I want to comment on this because we say this all the time. The first thing we do, ladies and gentlemen, when we get in the range is do a cold shoot, air quote, cold shoot. If you're on the street and God forbid something happens, you're not going to have time to practice on a piece of paper 15, 20 rounds to warm yourself up. It's a cold shoot. It's instantaneous. It's, I made the decision, the gun is coming out, I'm going to use it for self-defense. You better not miss, because every bullet on has an attorney's business card to it, right?
That is very true. You are reliable for every round that comes out of that weapon.
Now, Lee, as good as you are, can you attest to how sometimes a cold shoot, you scratch your head and go, how'd that happen?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, first shots, 9 times out of 10, cold shoot, it's not going to be the greatest, but, you know, we keep shooting, you get better with practice, with more repetition.
There's something about this. It's on the target. It's on the mark.
Right.
However, it's not the precision surgical shoot that after a few rounds, you're in tune with the weapon. So the more you practice, the closer the shot group gets, because if your adrenaline's pumping, if you're practicing and shooting a buckshot type of target, you're shooting a target and your rounds are forming what looks like buckshot, what's going to happen when your adrenaline's pumping?
It's going to get worse.
No, it's one of the things, though, but the cold shoot, sometimes the first round is the best one, and then I start thinking about what I was doing, and then they go way off, but then you got to recover. But the practice gets you around, and you get to where you can, where you present your weapon, it's very close to where it ought to be, and your sights are almost lined up, everything's coming together. And if you don't try to sweeten it and start thinking too much, you do well.
What you said is absolutely correct. If you overthink it, that's why most people's first shot is the best, because they weren't thinking about it. However, sometimes the first shot's not good, and I can't explain it, and I can't prove it. But if you clean your gun, you put your gun together, and you didn't shoot it after cleaning it, sometimes the gun has just got to set itself. And once it sets in, it starts shooting where you want it to shoot. So that's just one of those things you got to think about. So after cleaning your gun, pop, 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 just get the sucker set and she's ready to go. What else you got? Butch, tell us, what's your thoughts? Why did you start up with this, Butch? Why did you do this? Why do you continue to do this? What have you seen as growth in your shooting?
Well, I started out just to buy a gun, and then it escalated from there. And then the way the world is today, I've got more interested in it. But I would just like to add to some of these that we've been doing this now for how many years?
7, 8.
And
it's a while.
You're slack life. You never stop learning, and you always want to get better. And so it takes a lot of time and years to be able to not only be safe, that's the main part, but to add to your ability. and like the shoot house. I mean, we've been through the shoot house a lot of times, and seems like the first time you do it, you're not going to do a very good job, but after several years of doing it, you're going to learn how to move. And it's kind of like shooting. You're shooting on the move. And
let me clarify that shoot house. The shoot house is built to look to replicate a person's home. Okay, and we do drills where somebody breaks into the home and you're in your master bedroom and your children are on the far side in the bedroom. You hear this noise, you've got to go find out. So if you hear screaming, I'm not going to be turning corners and cutting pies, okay? I'm going to be running right to the threat. But if you hear something, a bump in the night, you know, and you're saying, like, where's this person? And you're doing certain maneuvering, the adrenaline's pumping, you're breathing heavy, you got to learn how to control that. And there's all these indicators like vibrations, heavy breathing, light distractions. If you got a little LED light glowing from one of the sockets or from one of your appliances and you cross over it, that's an indicator of somebody's there. So all these things we practice and train for so that, God forbid, if it ever happens, it's second nature.
You get shot with an airsoft pistol and you learn how to move a little faster.
That's right.
And that's what we use in the shoot house. And you will learn to get better and faster. Lee?
Make a smaller target.
Yes.
Lee, what do you think has been the most beneficial training aspect that we've done that has helped you?
Oh, man.
Dead air is not good.
I'll comment on that. And this was a little situation where the first time, so we went 2-on-1 with the airsoft pistols and things, and I got a very good lesson. And when you run out of ammunition, you want to run out of the fight. You don't stand around and watch to see what's going on, or you get a whole lot of little welts all over your body. And that was a very good lesson that healed up.
Following up on what you just said, Colonel, I video what we do. Every time somebody's up there, their turn to shoot, I'm there watching and observing. And I made this comment to you guys just the other day. I said, y'all are expert shooters. So where do we go from here? Well, if we're expert shooters and we got to increase, I've got to pinpoint, be nitpicky. I got to say, your foot's wrong. You did this wrong. And that doesn't criticize the shooter. That's just a person of this caliber, the guys that I shoot with of their caliber. It's like, man, I got to pick on you for here because I can't pick on you for that. You get a person who's novice, there's tons of stuff to pick on. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, okay, this is what's causing the problem. You're not hitting your target. The shots are going all over the place. You're having malfunctions, blah, blah, blah. But these guys know how to handle malfunctions. They can shoot with accuracy. Not only accuracy, it's surgical shooting. We're shooting at distances through about a 2-inch hole.
Yeah.
Multiple 2-inch holes.
2-by-3 holes, yeah. Shooting hostage targets.
And we've got to worry about who's behind it and who's next to it and all these things. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you're out there on the street and you're packing heat and you haven't gone through at least an LTC class, which is a joke, by the way, but if you even have done that, you don't know what the laws are. And you're thinking, well, I was in defense. A good attorney, a good prosecuting attorney is going to eat you for lunch. So you need to practice. And the better you get, the less you want to use your firearms, just like a martial artist. The higher in the ranking they get, the less they want to fight. They're going to block and parry as compared to breaking your neck because they've got the skill to do that. Whereas a shooter who enhances their skills on drawing, use, accuracy, what they're doing is building up a buffer of time before they actually have to draw the weapon. Because they are so skilled at what they do, and so fast at what they do, and so surgical at what they do, they can wait to the last possible second before drawing the firearm, as compared to somebody who's a novice who's freaking out, the adrenaline's pumping, they haven't prepared, they haven't trained, they may do something that's stupid and cause injury to somebody else. We're going to take a break, be back in 3 minutes. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm at your host. My gosh, we're going through so much stuff, and it's only, I got another hour and 10 minutes to go. This is great.
I'm glad you have
done. Hey, can I chime in here? Listening audience, if you were privileged to hear what I hear off radio, the expertise and knowledge and amazing things these men can do, you need to be taking math class. You need to be doing this.
Thank you. I was mentioning how in the shoot house, you were saying, I think, but you were saying something about what we learned. And I was going to ask that question, what have you learned? So I'll start it off. The question is, what have I learned? If you've been listening to me as faithful listeners that I know you are, you know that I had a COVID incident and my lungs are shot. I have a very challenging time when it comes to breathing. When you're in the shoot house, or let's just say in your home or some situation, and you don't know what's going to happen, what do you think it's real? The shoot house is as close as we get to being real. And you start going, okay, you don't want people to hear you breathing because that's an indicator. So you start to control your breath. And when you control your breath, you're stealing every other breath to try to not make noise. But after a minute, you start going, I need oxygen. And you start breathing heavy, and people are going to hear that. So what I learned was, when I was going to the shoot house just recently, I said to myself, Matt, your lungs are shot. From previous experience, you know you're going to start breathing heavy. I cannot afford to do that. So you go in with the attitude, and Colonel, you can follow up on this. I go into the attitude, into the shoot house with the attitude that I'm already dead. Don't worry about getting shot. Just do what you have to do. You know what to do. You've trained yourself. You know what to do. You know how to handle a situation. You know how to handle a turn a corner. You know how to hallways, doorways, the whole works. You know what to do if you have a malfunction. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? So if you think you're dead, you calm down. And when I did the drill, I was okay.
I keep a set electronic headset hanging on the magazine of my AR in the corner. What I have determined one time, I was walking across from our house back to where my mother was staying before she died to the house where we were staying. And I saw an armadillo, and I was just carrying my AR, and I decided that, you know, I would just shoot it. One round from that AR, my ears rang from 2 days. And I said, what if I shot this thing in the house? You know, I'd be deaf. So I now hearing these earmuffs. Well, I'm also hard of hearing from over 20 years of flying, 50 years of flying on the flight line. And so the electronic earmuffs, I can turn up and they actually act like hearing aids. When I've got them turned all the way up, I can hear footsteps across the room.
I want to make a comment about that. I understand totally what you're saying. My son and I had this discussion. He said, Dad, why don't you wear these electronic earmuffs? I said, son, because the electronic earmuff is totally contrary to my years of training. If I hear a twig snap, I know the distance it's at, blah, blah, blah. If I hear a twig snap in electronic modified noise, I go, I can't locate it. I heard the twig, but how far is it? And the other thing is, that's one more thing I got to put on. So where I understand it, Will, come over here, buddy.
Aloha.
Where I understand what you just said, sometimes it can potentially be detrimental. I got Will Stevenson in, son of Christine Stevenson.
How's it going, everybody?
He has trained with us as well. And we were talking about what we've learned, what we do, how does it feel to train. You want to say anything, Will?
Well, you were talking about those particular headphones that we use. One of the things that I want to figure out from you is, where do you get that walkie-talkie headset?
That's
fantastic. But what was the topic of conversation?
That's different, though. The walkie-talkie is because we're training and we want to be able to have earmuffs and talk to each other. But when I'm talking in the shoot house or a real-life situation goes on, I want to go bare ears. We were talking about what have we learned with the training that we've done.
Oh, man, shoot. I can't remember who was talking about shooting through the tiny little boxes, but the one time that I've drilled with you guys, we were shooting through these probably four-inch cardboard squares. For those of you who are watching live, you can see.
Not even.
They're tiny little holes, but the drills, the call-outs, being able to identify a target and what you're going to be shooting it through, that was the big point that I picked up from training with you guys.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because here's the deal. When you go to these IDPS IDPS kind of competitions, the competitor gets to walk the range. They get to say, I need to go to this box. I'm going to have five targets in front of me. I'll do a mag change here, blah, 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 blah. When I do training and we do training, it's a cold shoot. In other words, when you walk in, I say, go. There's no precursor. There's no look at the targets that I set up. I'm going to say, hey, You shoot this, that, or the other. Let's get her done.
Well, yeah, and that's how real life is. There is no warning. There is no standby. There is no, hey, get ready to shoot. It's like, oh, snap, something's happening. You better be ready for it. You better know what to do. So
with the short time that you were with us, what did you learn from the exercises?
Oh, shoot, what did I learn? Well, you taught me how to do ricochet shooting. I'd never done that before. Shooting off the ground to hit like we were doing bowling pins, yeah. I think. Or shooting off the ground. You have to shoot. If you want to get a ricochet shot on a target, you have to hit the ground about, what would you say, like 6 to 12 inches?
It depends on the height of the target. It depends on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, so one of the really cool things that we did is we would shoot these bowling balls that were set on the ground, and like I was saying just a second ago, you'd shoot the ground in front of the bowling ball, and you could kind of sort of tell if you shot the bowling pin directly, or excuse me, bowling pin, not ball. You could tell if you shot the bowling pin directly, like because it would like fall over. But if you splatter the bullet on the ground in front of the bowling ball, there's a super violent reaction. It's almost like you're turning a slug or a bullet into like a shotgun round or something.
So why would you want to do that? Perfect example would be like if somebody, a bad guy's behind a car and you don't have access to him other than a potential ricochet shot, you've got to have those skills available.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably my favorite part was learning ricochets, because that's something I had never done before in all my years shooting for the Marine Corps and all my years everything else.
I had Joel training with us too, and he loves to screw us up. So he would say, one of the commands would be car, pin, ricochet. So you're not just shooting from a standing position with a ricochet, you're on the ground shooting at a low profile with a ricochet, which totally changes the dynamics. So why am I saying all this? Is everybody bored yet? You better not be, because each and every one of us in the listening audience here at any particular moment could be subject to an attack. And hopefully a verbal command of saying no, stop, go away, we'll do it. But if it doesn't, and you're pressured and pushed, and you do have a firearm accessible, it doesn't matter if you don't know how to use it.
Yeah, stop, you're scaring me. What are those magic words that you say?
I had Susan Stirl. Susan Stirl was my executive producer one time, and I said, Susan, write me up this piece of paper here. It's like basically saying, stop, you're scaring me. Okay? If you hear those words come from me, you're a nanosecond away from being shot, because I will not say those words unless you are scaring me. Okay? So be prepared to shoot. 1 minute. What?
The singing time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you think I'm pointing at Kathleen for?
I'm in the zone.
He's not looking.
I'm in the zone. Okay, I got Kathleen. Kathleen, go ahead and tell us what we got.
Okay, let me move beside you here. Okay. I'm going to do a song that was written for a movie by Marvin Hamlisch. Most of you probably haven't heard of him. I think all of us have. But he talks about why he wrote the song. It was for Barbara Streisand, and he always wanted to write a song for her. Mm-hmm. And it was not an easy thing. Eventually, they took it out of the movie that he wrote it for, The Way We Were. Mm-hmm. And he convinced them to put it back in. Mm. And it was a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a winner. So it's a beautiful song, and it speaks about when the couple in the movie decided that they were just not going to make it. They had tried for 10 years to make things work, and it was not going to work. Memories light the corners of my mind, misty watercolored memories of the way we were. Scattered pictures of the smiles we left behind, smiles we for the way we were. Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? If we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we? Could we? Memories may be beautiful, and yet what's too simple to remember
We simply choose to forget. So it's the laughter we will remember. Whatever we remember, the way we were, the way we were.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Look, we're going to take a top of the hour break. When we come back, I think we'll hit some headlines, maybe do some final commentary on the shooting aspect of things. Got a lot coming up. 11:30, true story, so stand by. Be back in three. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Lennox Studio right here in Cameron, Texas. So let Cox's Heating and AC install a Lennox air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest and most energy-efficient units you can buy. Give them a call at Cox's Heating and AC at 254-697-4252. We're simulcasting here on 105.1 FM The Ranch, also at KRXT 98.5 FM. Check us out live at Facebook at aaronsgunshop.com. You got a question, give me a call, 254-697-6633. And all programming is put in a podcast form. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, Apple, Spotify, Podbean. Check it out. I want to thank the sponsors, the private people who donate. Can't thank you enough, because you get nothing out of it. You're just doing it to keep the show on the air, and I can't thank you enough for that. So all of you out there who's got extra money, don't know what to do with it, this is a great place to put it. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio show page, scroll down a little bit, you'll see the donation button. Do it on a monthly basis, it'll be greatly appreciated. I've been talking with the guys from the shooting team, and behind the microphone we had brought up the malfunction aspect of it, and Butch, you know, it's a good point, because malfunctions are key. Because if it goes down and it's broke and you don't know how to fix it, you're screwed.
I guess you could call time out, I guess. Time in.
Yeah, that works.
One second.
Yeah. But we've practiced a lot of malfunctions, and seems like now we are, if we do have a malfunction, we're back up and running pretty fast, because, of course, you're watching the field, but just kind of a glance at the gun, and you would know what to do. And
wait, let me clarify on that. You have a malfunction, some people will start focusing on the gun. They're going to stop and start focusing on the gun. These guys are trained to the point where they know their firearm, they have a malfunction, and they know the malfunction, and they know how to clear the malfunction. They keep their eyes on the target, and they clear the weapon probably about in a second or two.
Well, it kind of helps when you got people you train with that they will do something to some of the bullets sometimes.
Yeah, just to clarify what he's saying, we'll load each other's mags, and let's say you have five rounds in a mag. Well, maybe we only put three, or maybe we put a dummy round, and you got to figure out how to fix it. There's all these different things. Now, on the training seminar that I'm doing an advanced training seminar. I think I made downgrade. Let me tell. I'll be blunt. I'll be blunt. I'll be honest. I'll be totally honest with you. When you're at a 95 percentile shooter, me putting out a course for the 95% shooters is going to be a little harder to fill. That's why the price is so high. It's because you've got to go above and beyond the basics. Because of that, not so many people do it. I don't have enough of a class for January 27th. I'm going to downgrade it. And I don't mean this ugly either. I'm going to downgrade it to a novice, to just below an intermediate shooter. I've got five spots left. It's $200. If you want to walk out my door at 6 o'clock in the evening that day and feel emboldened with the knowledge that you've learned, you need to make contact with me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Somehow, someway, go to Aaron's Gunshop, figure it out, you'll find it. Send me an email. You can go to the High Cap Adventure page and look at the flyer there as what's available. It's basically the same thing. However, with advanced shooters, I take no mercy. With novice to lower than intermediate, I say, it's okay. We'll do it again. It's not a problem.
Not you.
It's okay. We'll do it again. But I'm telling you, I've done it way too many times, and I know the product that I put out the door. And the product that I put out the door is one who's refreshed, emboldened, hungry, excited, that they could do what they couldn't have done before that 10-hour, 12-hour class. Okay? So check it out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, sign up now, we'll take care of it. Or give me an email, because the price set on there is at a different price than what I'm about to give you. Any comments?
Yeah, I got it. So you're telling me that people can pay you less money for you to treat them nicer? I don't know what we're allowed to say, you know, on live radio here.
Well, you know what's funny? You go to Front Sight Training in Pahrump, Nevada, and this is a generality. I don't have specifics, but in general, it's going to cost $2,000 to $3,000 for their course.
Oh yeah,
that's before you even do transportation, lodging, food. I saw the book. Somebody went to took the course. They brought the book to me. I looked at the book. I started laughing. I go, oh my gosh. One, the pictures are pathetic. Two, the training is basically what I do, but I do it so much more advanced. And I do it for a fraction of the cost. And if you're in this general area where you can hear me, you can drive within 45 minutes to an hour and a half and get to me. Okay? And I'll give you training like you've never had before. It's incredible. So Front Sight, you're great at marketing. You hear what I said?
So that's the next step.
Marketing. You're great at marketing. And I know the guy who did Front Sight, and he is. He's very good at marketing. So, anyway.
So sign up for the course, people. Go to aaronsgutshop.com, find his course, sign up for it. He'll be real nice to you. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and you'll learn something.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me ask this question. I've got Lee, I've got the Colonel, I've got you, I've got Butch. Give me one thing that they can expect to learn if they take the class.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not entirely sure what you're covering, but you'll at the very least probably learn how to do a proper draw from your holster. You'll probably learn how to do the basics of stoppages or malfunctions or failure to feeds or whatever. You will very likely learn how to get good trigger discipline, how to have good follow-through, good posture while shooting. That's very important. A lot of people mess up posture. Stuff like that. Anyone else got anything?
Let me add to that. You're not just a number in the class. That's why I limit it to 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
10 people, and we pair up as teams. I got 5 teams of 2. I have very personal information to give you. Girl?
And magazine changes. That's something you don't even think about that. But that, if you've got a 5-second or a 7-second, or you drop your magazine while you're changing, it makes a lot of difference in what's going out versus what's coming in.
Kind of going back to the airsoft, body language of people, when you're standing in front of 3 or 4 people and you don't know who the bad guy is until they draw on you, and then you have to outdraw that person, and then what are these other 3 or 4 guys? Are they good guys or bad guys? So that's maybe more advanced, no?
That's a class I taught in my license to carry class. It's body language, reading the body. When you see somebody come into a room, I'm looking at Lee right now. He's got a baggy shirt on. His hands are in his pockets. He's got baggy pants down to his ankles. I can hide a gun in the ankles. What's his hand covering? Is it covering a knife? He's got a little bit of slop in the shirt. I don't mean that ugly. I mean, where you got X's shirt. What kind of gun you hiding there? I don't know what he's got in his back pocket. There you go. See? So I'm reading people, body language, all sorts of good stuff. Okay? Lee, what do you got? What can you learn?
So back on kind of what Will was touching on, you know, the how you hold your gun, you know, your grip is going to affect how you shoot. You know, when I first came into it, I wasn't gripping my weapon right. You know, Matt helped me tremendously on that, and it's made huge, huge improvements.
They always say, you got to check your sights. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a gun that has no sights, and that is the gun I shoot the quickest and most accurate with. You know why? Because you don't think. It's like the colonel said. As soon as you start thinking, you start screwing up. I remember my drill sergeant. There you go, thinking again. Don't think. All right, so anyway, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. You'll see the flyer there. Don't click on it because it's the higher rate. I'm dropping it down to the $200 rate. And that'll provide you, if you start like 8 o'clock in the morning, go to about 6 o'clock in the evening, lunch will be provided. It's going to be a pretty good show. So if you're interested, give me an email or give me a call. Christine, you got any comments on that? I know you're a shooter. Judge, what do you got?
Oh man, I wish you could. This is a bargain.
I gotta check with my boss before I can say I'm coming or not, but you know, I wanna
well, the boss needs to come too.
Well, you can't get hurt. So
here's what I'll say, ladies, you're not always gonna have Matt protecting you or my son Will protecting you or your husband around protecting you. You need to be able to protect yourself. Do this class.
Good deal. We'll stop it there. Let's go to the word of the day. The word of the day was insane, and it came from this headline. This is insane. Elon Musk reacts to record-busting border numbers. December on track for more than 300,000 migrant encounters along the southern border.
It was 376, they said.
Well, that covers the more than, yeah. Let's see. Leaked data indicating December will be the worst month for illegal border crossings in U.S. history has elicited a strong reaction from the world's richest man. He said, the Border Patrol sources told Fox there have now been over 276,000 migrant encounters at the southern border in December, the highest single month ever recorded, breaking the prior record set in September at 269,000 plus. Quote, record is being shattered. This new record includes over 230,000 Border Patrol apprehensions of illegal immigrants in December, also the highest single month of apprehensions ever recorded in Border Patrol. That does not include the getaways, the gotaways. So if you have this many people who are being apprehended, and the reason they know how many gotaways there are because they've got the cameras. Mm-hmm. They can't get their people there quick enough because they're busy with these other ones at the border. So you got all these getaways, and some of these getaways have weapons coming across the border.
Well, and the ones that they catch, they're given now, what, 20, 31?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Show up, so they're going
to
be in the
country. Okay, you're in the border, you're in the country, you're going to have to go to court. We'll set it almost 10 years from now. Hopefully we'll see it.
This is why Biden needs his vacation. This is exhausting.
We'll take a break. Be back in 3.
4, 3.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. At your host. Give me a call, 254-697-6633. Don't forget, I've still got Christine Stevenson in the studio. If you got a question when it comes to taxes, IRS, all that kind of stuff, she can help you out. Judge Andy Isaacs, the Colonel Rafer Brown, his lovely wife, Kathleen. I got Wills Stevenson in here, the guys from the shooting team, but I want to switch gears here. Colonel, I was just scrolling through and I happened to see this, and for some reason I go, I think the Colonel would like this. 6 brilliant Tesla inventions that never got built. And this is, what, Nikolai?
Nikola Tesla.
It seems, let's see, what does it say here? These futuristic visions have yet to come to fruition, either because of technological limitations or market viability or both. Quote, it seems that I've always been ahead of my time, the Serbian-American engineer of physics Nikola Tesla once mused. While the eccentric inventor pioneered advances in radio, television, motors, robotics, and electricity, including the alternating current technology that's widely used today, he also proposed some of the more outlandish ideas. Now, let me tell you something. This guy died in a very questionable manner, okay? He has all this great information. J.P. Morgan was working with him, didn't like it because it all boils down to money, okay? So let me tell you here what we've got, because these inventions have been mentioned from time to time. First one is earthquake machine. Huh? Well, let's read it. Let's see what he says. In 1893, Tesla patented a steam-powered mechanical oscillator that would vibrate up and down at high speeds to generate electricity. Years after patenting his invention, he told reporters that one day while attempting to tune his mechanical oscillator to vibration of the building housing the New York City laboratory, he caused the ground to shake. During the test, Tesla continually turned up the power and heard cracking sounds. Suddenly, he recalled, all the heavy machinery in place was flying around. I grabbed a hammer and broke the machine. The building would have been down around our ears in another few minutes. Police and ambulances arrived on the scene to attend to the commotion, but Tesla told his assistants to remain quiet and tell the police that it must have been an earthquake. Thought camera. I didn't print it out. I don't know why I didn't print it out. But basically the thought camera was, Tesla thought if you had a thought and you're looking at something, he could take a picture of your retinas to see what you were thinking, which would enable people to know exactly what you think. I didn't print it out here. I don't know what it is. Wireless energy. Wireless energy. And this, okay, Colonel, this goes to J.P. Morgan, the whole works. In 1901, Tesla secured $150,000, that's a lot back then, from financier J.P. Morgan to build a 185-foot-tall mushroom-shaped tower on the north shore of Long Island capable of transmitting messages. Telephony? Is that how you say it?
Telephony.
Telephony. And images to ships at sea and across the Atlantic Ocean by using the Earth to conduct signals. As work began on the structure called Wardenclyffe Tower, Tesla wanted to adapt it to allow for wireless power delivery, believing from his experiments on radio and microwaves that he could light up New York City by transmitting millions of volts of electricity through the air. Morgan, however, refused to give Tesla any additional funding for his grandiose scheme. Some speculate that Morgan cut off funds once he realized that Tesla's plan would have crippled his other energy sector holdings. It's all about the money.
The wireless transmission of power.
You could have had free electric based on Tesla's concept idea of taking it from the planet. How about this one? Artificial tidal wave. The engineer and physicist believed the power of science could be harnessed to prevent war. In 1907, the New York World reported on another Tesla's military innovations in which wireless
telegraphy.
25-cent guy coming up.
25-cent guy.
Carrier wave radio.
Telegrams.
Would trigger the detonations of high explosives at sea to generate tidal waves so vast that they would capsize entire enemy fleets. Man, talk about thinking outside the box. The newspaper reported that the artificial tidal wave would make navies as useless as the paper boats that babies float in bathtubs. And foreshadowing later claims about the development of nuclear weapons, quote, by its horrors, hasten the day of universal peace. All right. Number 5, electric-powered supersonic airship. Oh, this is cool. From the time Tesla was a boy, he had been fascinated with the idea of flight. Combining his knowledge of electrical and mechanical engineering, he began to think more about aviation after the failure of Wardenclyffe. In an article in the July 1919 issue of Reconstruction magazine, Tesla discussed his work on developing a supersonic aircraft that would travel 8 miles above the surface of the Earth and generate speeds allowing passengers to travel between New York City and London in 3 hours. His concept called for the aircraft to be powered by electricity transmitted wirelessly from power plants on the ground and eliminating the need for aircrafts to carry fuel. The power supply is virtually unlimited, as any number of power plants can be operated together, supplying energy to airships just as trains running on tracks are now supplied with electrical energy through rails and wires. What do you think about that, Colonel?
Fantastic. And it just not economically suitable.
Let's end this on a high note. Death beam.
I'm interested.
That my wife looks mean at me.
My wife has one of those.
Tesla's creative mind continued to spark new visions even late in his life. On his 78th birthday, he told the New York Times...
Wait a minute. 78th is what? Late in life?
This is coming up the 24th of January.
Oh, we need to celebrate.
78, yeah.
Ooh, let's remember that.
He told the New York Times that he came up with this most important invention, one that would cause armies of millions to drop dead in their tracks. Huh. Now look, the death beam can be like that microwave beam. You know the microwave beam that shoots out heat and it disperses people?
Yeah. Yep.
Where did I go here? Okay, the invention, a military weapon that would accelerate mercury particles at 45 times the speed of sound inside a vacuum chamber and shoot a high-velocity beam through the free air of such tremendous energy that it will bring down a fleet of 10,000 enemy airplanes at a distance of 250 miles.
10,000 airplanes.
Although the press dubbed it a death beam, Tesla believed it a peace beam. that would foil attacks by airplanes and invading armies and save lives by attacking. Look, that is, when you look at Tesla and you know his history and you know what happened with the government and all this kind of stuff, it makes me want to say it's no wonder the United States of America has got onions the size of freaking, beach balls. Because they're like, Trump said, hey, we got stuff you have no idea what we got.
Well, let's go back to World War II for a second. And a lot of people complain because we killed 235,000 or somewhere in that area, about 250,000 people when we dropped the atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Now, what they don't go take in consideration was is that Japan was preparing to defend its coastlines with sticks and wooden rifles to the death. The people, when we took some of the islands, we killed a few, but a lot of the people committed suicide by jumping off of cliffs. 20,000 to 30,000 people jumped into the ocean instead of being captured. So they were going to fight millions of people to the death. And when they surrendered, all of these people's lives were saved because of atomic energy. And nobody wants to talk about that.
Shelby, how much time do I got?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Let me do this. What do you think about this, everybody? Trump predicts neither Biden nor Kamala will be Democrat nominee in 2024. It's going to be a free-for-all to replace them. One, do you believe it? Two, if you believe it, who do you think would be replaced? Or who do you think would be the replacement?
Yeah, it's possible. That's a very real scenario. Now, who? It's a mishmash of between Michelle Obama, an idiot in California,
Gavin Newsom,
and we don't know several other candidates. It's probably some kind of dark horse person, maybe Satan. That's going
to. Andy, what you're saying,
whoever it is, will be Satan.
What you're saying is, I'm thinking to myself, it's got to be something that unites everybody in a short period of time.
Right.
Gavin Newsom isn't going to do it.
No, I don't think so.
Anybody isn't going to do it except for one person that I can think of. And who do you think that is?
Michelle Obama.
Mm-mm. She has always been in the reserve. She is owned by the deep state. She doesn't want to do it, but she will do it if she's called upon it. She owes them a debt. She owes them a debt of being in the presidency.
Are you using the right pronoun?
No. Yeah. I brought that up at the beginning of the show.
She is, her and a Barack are bought and paid for. You got to be the president. You got to be the first lady. It's okay. Enjoy all the benefits. But when I need you, it's just like the mafia. I don't want to do this, but, you know, hey, kiss the hand, and if I need you, I... You
but know. She really did.
She did what?
She really does want it.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. The point is, she's about the only person I can think of, because Oprah won't make it, although a lot of people like her, she doesn't have the politics aspect of it. Whereas Michelle... Politics. She's been in it. She's one of the most favorable persons on the planet, most recognizable.
But she's also, what they really want is a mouthpiece that's controllable.
Yeah, the thing that amazes me in this situation is Barack Obama, when he came on the scene, nobody knew him, and all of a sudden.
We'll be back in 3 minutes. True stories.
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That
cheats.
It's cheating.
Here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program, coming to you from the Cox's AC Linux Studio right here in Cameron, Texas. Let Cox's Heating and AC install a Linux air conditioner in your home or office with one of the quietest and most energy-efficient units you can buy. Call Cox's Heating and AC at 254-697-4252.
Why are you pointing at me?
Tell you later. Okay. Give me a call here, 254-697-6633. We are now in the True Stories of Self-Defense, everybody's favorite segment of the program. And what we do is, this one is from January 2024. It's the current issue, page 10, if you want to read along. It's a cold read. We're just going to read it and see what we think. I'll make commentary on it. You ready? Here we go. A man returned to his Los Angeles, California home around 7:30 p.m. the evening of November 4th and was about to unlock his front door when two men jumped over a short wall by his driveway. One man ran up behind the homeowner and shoved his gun at him. But the homeowner immediately responded, dropping his keys and slamming his cup of hot tea in the assailant's face. Then, oh, freaking A, man. Awesome. In the assailant's face, then drawing his own gun and firing several shots. He then moved out of his front door corridor to use his vehicle as concealment. The assailant returned fire as they fled. The homeowner told reporters his wife, their 5-month baby, and friend and the family's nanny, a friend and the family's nanny were inside during the attack. No injuries were reported. In later reports, the homeowner implored their district attorney to stop picking the wrong people to go after and to charge criminals. Let me make a comment about this. I've said this a ton of times. If you're packing heat and your arms are full and something happens, you know what the majority of people are going to do?
Just drop it?
No, absolutely not. They're going to try and find a place to put the stuff. If you're packing heat and your arms are full and something goes down, let the eggs break. You got China, let it shatter.
Just throw it.
Drop it. No, just drop it. If you got your hands full, instantaneously drop it. Don't be a weapon. Just drop it.
Or make a distraction with it.
Yeah. He went.
Well, okay, you can do that.
You know, that's smart.
But it's another thing too, Pearl. Perfect example in the shoot house. In reality, American homes sheetrock in most cases. Okay, you can shoot right through it. If you know exactly where all your people are in your home, your wife, your children, the whole works, and you know this scumbag is behind the corner, do you think I'm going to blade a corner? Hell no. I'm going to shoot through that freaking
drywall.
Drywall, thank you.
He was outside. This one was outside.
All right, it's my turn. On October 5th, near 11 p.m., a 30-year-old man began pounding on a window of a home in Phoenix, Arizona. He succeeded in breaking into the home and entering, whereupon a resident inside shot him. The armed citizen lived there with his spouse and 2 young daughters, according to reports. The intruder died later at the hospital from his wounds.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. 1, 2, 3, ABC. Go ahead, Judge.
Okay. A man driving in Fort Lats County, Georgia, on October 5th, when a person driving in front of him slammed on his brakes, both vehicles then stopped at the red light, whereupon the man in the vehicle that had braked suddenly reportedly rolled down his window and began yelling obscenities at the other driver, then exited his vehicle and allegedly physically attacked the other driver through his open window. The road rager then stabbed the other driver's tire, then reportedly advanced on him with his knife in hand. The driver, still in the vehicle, feared for his life and shot the other man in the hand. The suspect was arrested and has been charged with aggravated assault, criminal damage to property, and battery.
Judge, at what point could I have got out of my car and taken care of business?
You're pretty close to it right there as it is. I'm not sure.
Well, obviously when he came to him.
Yeah.
And if he got out of his car, that's one thing. But then he slashed the tire.
Mm-hmm. And then he came at him with the knife. I think
right at that point.
Mm-hmm. You get in there, there's some distance of evaluation. If he's like standing at my door slashing at me, well then that's, you know.
Christine, you got it?
Yeah, I do. A homeowner in Bismarck, North Dakota was awoken at 3 a.m. on October 6th by loud noises coming from a child's unoccupied room. When he went to investigate, he reportedly discovered a naked man pulling toys and clothes around. The homeowner yelled for his wife to call police, retrieved his gun, and held the intruder at gunpoint until help arrived. The intruder, who had apparently entered through an unlocked back door and seemed intoxicated, told the homeowner he was there for his clothes. He was to be charged with felony burglary and misdemeanor counts of criminal mischief and disorderly conduct. Lucky he didn't get his you-know-what shot off.
Yeah, there are 2 or 3 major problems here. I think problem number one is he heard a loud noise.
And didn't get his gun first.
I wouldn't say that when he retrieved his gun, he may have had it. Like, maybe it was on his backside, and he retrieved it that way, as opposed to running to a room.
Okay, well, let me clarify, Christine. When we read these stories, 100%.
It's 3 a.m.
We have to make our decisions based on 100%, pretending that 100% of the facts are being told to us.
Okay.
I'm making my commentary based on that.
Yeah, I'm with
So a homeowner is awakened at 3 a.m. to a loud noise.
Yes.
He went to investigate. Then he gets held.
Actually, he yelled for his wife first, and then...
Now we got the guy.
No, yeah. He went to investigate first, then okay. Yelled for his wife.
The second thing is, the door was unlocked. I can't tell you how many times my alarm systems are checked, and my doors are locked, and my windows are locked. I can't tell you how many times
The guy better be lucky there wasn't a child in the unoccupied room, because regardless, he would have been dead.
Colonel, take it away.
On October 12th at 11:20 p.m., two men in Tucson, Arizona, parking lot, were suddenly approached by two armed and masked men. The would-be robbers demanded money at gunpoint, but the two other men drew their own weapons and fired, killing the assailants. They immediately called 911 after the incident. No charges have been filed at the time of reporting. Boy, I tell you, they drew their weapons, both of them were ready, and they must have been working together at Aaron's High Cap Adventures.
You got a place there?
This is good.
Give me a
take.
Take that one, I'll do the last one.
Okay.
Don't I get one?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Do you want this one?
I don't care.
Take the A.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, both A.
Okay. A couple in Bellefontaine, Neighbors, Missouri, had just dropped off their child at school around 9 a.m. on October 13th, but came back to their house to retrieve a forgotten item. The woman exited the vehicle and went inside, leaving the front car door open, while the man stayed in the back seat. A male reportedly jumped out of a vehicle that had followed them home and entered the open car door. The man in the back seat shot the would-be carjacker, who then fled to the waiting vehicle. The occupants of that vehicle fired at the defender as they left, striking him in the elbow. Ooh, wow. Police later arrested the suspected carjacker.
Okay, I have a question. If you're in the back seat of a car, and the criminal is in the front seat of the car, and your approximate distance from the barrel to the back of his head is about 3 to 6 inches.
Not far.
How the hell does he
walk? Well, why is he sitting in the back seat?
They dropped the kids off. Well, they probably had a kid in the front seat, and they dropped the kid off to school, and he just stayed in the back seat.
There is no excuse for that. At that close proximity, it should have been a kill shot.
But anyway. Good one.
All right. We'll take it away.
A homeowner in Kokomo, Indiana, awoke around 8:45 p.m. on October 15th to strange noises in his living room. He investigated and discovered a stranger in his home. He attempted to get the intruder to leave, but the man instead attacked the homeowner, who then fired at the assailant and killed him. The homeowner was treated for minor bruising and abrasions, and the investigation was still ongoing at the time of reporting.
Okay, now, Christine, I want to make a comment about this, based on what I said before. The story tells everything?
Yes.
It didn't say he went to get his gun, but he shot him, which means I have to conclude that when it happened, he had his gun available. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a good story, right?
It's a good one.
All right.
Let me stop. Still got about 2 minutes.
I've got a story.
Well, here. About a minute and a half.
Good enough. New York City man who allegedly stabbed teen girls and yelled, "I want all white people dead," had been freed weeks before by the judge.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
The alleged assailant, Stephen Hutcherson, 36, of the Bronx, allegedly attacked two teenage girls at some place. And Monday, after arguing with restaurant staff over sitting in the establishment's area, according to reports, he remarked that the two teen girls, 14 and 16, were allowed to sit there, ultimately pulling out a knife and stabbing them, one in the thigh and the other in the back, the latter of whom was treated for a collapsed lung. The man allegedly shouted racist remarks as well. Quote, I want all the white people dead, and I want to sit next to the crackers. And we're not talking the menu, okay? We're talking
that sounds so weird.
His stabbing spree didn't end there, however. Uh-oh. After police took Hutcherson into custody at the Eric M. Taylor Center, he allegedly got up from the cot in his dorm and stabbed his 43-year-old cellmate with a 1.5-inch ceramic blade. The attack left gashes across the left side of his face and head. The information continued. A correction officer intervened quickly, pepper spraying Hutchinson and rushing the victim, blah, blah, blah. Hold on, one second. 26, yeah, I know. Further, he was put back in the streets just before Christmas attack. What am I trying? Yeah, there we go. He has been arrested 17 times over the last 2 decades.
Where is this at?
This is in New York.
It's in the United States of America.
Anyway, we're taking a break.
Take a break. Be back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Having a fantastic time here in the studio with everybody. Finishing up 2023 with the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Kathleen Brown will be singing a fantastic song before the end of the show. I'm going to throw some miscellaneous stuff in here. If you got a final question or comment, give me a call, 254-697-6633. Once again, in case somebody wanted to buy the t-shirt, I'm only telling you what's out there available. There's a t-shirt out there that reads, "Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and all other genders you make up are from
Uranus."
Now, a lot of people say Uranus.
That's what I learned when I was a kid.
I think the proper term is Uranus.
That's the way they, like, in all the children's shows now, they say Uranus. So
I grew up with Uranus. With you, I think that's the problem.
That's the fun way to say it. Well,
but that's not the fun way.
Not for this t-shirt.
Anus needs to be bold.
That's another t-shirt right there.
There you go.
Uh-oh. You want me to take it?
Yeah, go ahead. Take a look. Okay. I'm bold. I'm brave. I'm careful.
I'm hip.
Got a phone call.
Hold on.
Got a caller here.
Okay.
Is the radio program still on, or is that over at 11?
I'll tell you what. Let me check. Stand by. Shelby, are we still on the air?
We are. Until noon.
Okay, who am I talking to?
Yeah, hi. This is Davis. I just wanted to make an announcement about Don coming to Temple for our tea party meeting.
Davis Ford.
Well, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, okay.
You're on the air. You're on the air.
Don Huffines is coming to town on January the 16th to the Harris Center at 6:30 p.m. He's going to be talking about a hot topic there, at least if you're Governor Abbott or some of these people that like or don't like to support schools or public schools or student choice. Anyway, Don Huffines, January 16th, Central Texas Tea Party, is having him as our speaker. So get there early. You can get there at 6 o'clock so you can get a seat. 6:30 p.m. at the Harris Center in Belton, Texas, January 16th. Third Tuesday of the month is when we meet. So like everybody in your listening audience to show up, because it should be a firecracker of an event.
Fantastic, Davis. I appreciate the call. Thank you for the information, and hopefully people will do what you have asked of them. All right. We have just a few minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably throw this out here, and we'll talk about it, and we'll get to Kathleen. I want to go over it again. Donald Trump Jr. floats Alex Jones for Trump press secretary. Is this a joke, or is this for real?
Sounds like Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee did one, and they showed Alex Jones as the press secretary. But now Don Jr. goes, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, blah, 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 but we need to put these people in their place. Alex Jones knows what he's talking about. He's crazy. He's done some stupid things. And if I take that and encapsulate it and look at all the other stuff he did, I go, tremendous information. So I have to put it on a scale and weigh it.
I think that Don's probably trying to have all the MSNBC and CNN anchors and stuff
have a heart attack.
Have heart attacks and completely drop them out. Because that's what we're talking about.
This would be fantastic. And even if it's a joke, which this looks like it's a legitimate article, this is fantastic marketing.
There you go.
So if it's real, if it's not real, the word's out.
Everybody's going to be talking about Donald Trump one way or the other now.
Kathleen, if Jones were to somehow serve as Trump's press secretary, it would fulfill a prophecy first foretold by the Babylon Bee in 2017. And it says, the fiery Jones wasted no time getting in front of the cameras, holding his inaugural press conference shortly after the announcement. I am the new press secretary, he bellowed in his distinct Texas growl at all the reporters present, occasionally taking a handkerchief out of his pocket to dab perspiration from his red face.
We went to a dinner that was Texas Values dinner that some of the speakers were from Babylon Bee, and they talked about how difficult it is to find stories to put out because it seems like every when they put them out, they end up being true. Yeah.
They don't need to mess it up. It's already jacked up the way it is.
Sarcasm is just...
And they complained about the liberals not having a sense of humor anyway. They put out something as total satire, and they would attack them for it.
Okay, Shelby, I want to make sure we do this right. How much time do I got before we get Kathleen on?
Four and a half.
Okay, let me hit these three articles. We'll just talk about it real fast. New California law will change the way police officers interact with drivers and pedestrians. New California law going into effect in January 24 will change the way police officers interact with millions of drivers and pedestrians. The officer seeking to stop a driver or pedestrian must now initiate an interaction by specifying the purpose of the stop before asking inquiring questions. They will no longer be able to initially ask the driver, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" In one aspect, I can see it, because if the officer asks that question, you could potentially incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? I get it. But to waste the time on all your other problems in California, and you're worried about this little transaction here, just why don't you teach the people just to shut up and not say anything?
And behave themselves. This stopping and asking the question, you know, a lot of these officers don't know the Constitution. They've been taught constitutional law, and they don't really understand that the Fifth Amendment...
Y'all been moving it too much. It's got no sound.
You're talking here.
Yeah. Oh.
That's good. Talk
that one. Y'all been moving it too much.
All right. So, anyway, the people don't know their rights. The officers don't know their rights. And so it makes it... But I've been stopped for going too fast. And the guys, first thing he does is ask me to incriminate myself.
You know how fast you were.
You gotta
do you know why I stopped you?
Answer that nicely.
Do you know why I stopped you? No, I haven't got a clue, man.
You stopping?
Am I not moving right now?
Am I the only one you can catch?
I love it.
All right, that one's done. Heavily censored fibers and documents show COVID began 5 years mass depopulation in Janet. Look, you're either going to think I got three heads, or you're going to go look it up yourself and connect the dots and see. Yes, this is, what do you call this, the word?
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy? Thank you. It's a conspiracy. Yeah, I know. I know it sounds crazy. Check it out. Make your own mind up. And the helicopters descend on Las Vegas to monitor nuclear threat ahead of New Year's Eve. I mean, what's bad about that?
Choppers descend.
Yeah, but why?
Well, there's...
In this article, otherwise...
There's an air station in Las Vegas. They have an Air Force base there.
If they didn't explain in this article... And they just had this headline. I go, whoa, what's the deal? Okay? But here's what they say. Now, it could be totally...
This is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. This is FUD.
It could be Bravo Sierra, but basically what it's saying is...
Why aren't they monitoring Times Square?
No, it's working now.
It's working now? Okay.
It's just got to stop.
These surveys are a normal part of security and emergency preparedness activities. They're making the public aware of the upcoming flights.
The public doesn't need to know why there's helicopters. There's just going to be helicopters.
When they're flying at how many feet above the air?
I mean, helicopters...
They're going to be flying 150 feet in the air. That's kind of low. That's kind of low.
Yeah, that's low. But I mean, like, you know, when I see a helicopter, I'm like, oh, cool, a helicopter.
Jockey's trying to mess with people, too. So exactly. Let's fly low and scare them.
Sure. I don't see what the benefit is of telling people, like, hey, watch out for nuclear threats on New Year's. And it's like, what the hell are people going to do?
Aren't they up at Times Square would seem to be a
better place.
Yeah. Do you know how many people saw this article?
20.
Probably. How many are in this room?
Plus. How many viewers we got?
Okay. Kathleen, you are going to bring us into the New Year, air quote, New Year.
Come over here.
Yeah, that one's been touched.
This is the platinum microphone, okay? Well, before you start, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure all year long. Thank you so much. God bless you. Keep your powder dry now. Kathleen, take it away.
Okay. This song is the traditional song for New Year's since 1940-something. And it was... They say that the words came from... Robert Burns, Scottish
poet.
Only he said that actually an old Scottish gentleman taught him that, the words, and he just wrote them down. So thank you, Robert Burns, for writing them down. But there are other songs that were older than that that used the same words. I'm trying to waste some time here because it's not going to take very long. So everybody's going to have to join me on this.
as much as I have a windbag, I'll cover this.
Okay, he'll cover the last bit. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne? For old lang syne, my friend, for old lang syne, we'll drink a cup of kindness yet for old